بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ما الله سبحانه وتعالى the most merciful as he gathered us in this place, gather us with our parents, our beloved parents, our beloved children on Jannah. And Allah سبحانه وتعالى is capable of this, and he is merciful سبحانه وتعالى, although maybe we don't deserve it, but Allah سبحانه وتعالى is most merciful. Last week we stopped when we were talking about the three fundamentals of Islam, of Deen, and we stopped at the case of the acts of worshipping. We read some part of this, but we need to go back quickly about this one. Maybe we need to give more explanations. And we said that the acts of worshipping could be by the heart, could be by the tongue, and could be by the body or the action. So that's the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah belief, that faith, as we will talk about inshallah when we talk about the fundamentals of faith, that they believe that faith must be by all these three, not one of them only, not only by heart, not only by tongue, not only by the action of the body. It should be about all of them. So kufr will be the vice versa, to say that kufr is creeds, statements, or actions that contradict with faith. Then it's easy for us to understand later on when we talk about this, that we are talking about the acts, and the acts could be by the heart. How is the heart is acting? Easy. Love is the act of a heart. Okay? Hate, fear, humbleness, and so on. All these are the acts of the heart. We'll talk about them inshallah within tonight, hopefully inshallah. Yes, yeah.
Intending the performance of any of these acts for other than Allah is an act of disobedience and association.
Or polytheism, yeah.
Disbelief and association. Yeah. The evidence for this is the saying of Allah, which means, and whoever invokes or worships besides Allah any other ilah of whom he has no proof, then his reckoning is only with his Lord. Surely, al-kafirun, the disbelievers in the oneness of Allah, the polytheists, pagans and idolaters, will not be successful. Al-Mu'minun, ayat number 117. He and also, and your Lord said, invoke me, believe in my oneness, Islamic monotheism, and ask me for anything, I will respond to your invocation. Verily, those who scorn my worship, don't believe in Islamic monotheism, they will surely enter hell in humiliation.
So the case, okay, the Prophet, yeah, the Prophet said, Allah
Sallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, invocation is worship of Allah.
Okay.
There are many conditions. Hold on.
Okay, let's look at this case. Now he started to talk about the worshipping he have talked about in the beginning. He gave the first case of worshipping, the case of dua. Why? Subhanallah, yani, Islamic scholars, when they want to talk about tawheed, they talk about tawheed upon the situation which is in their time. A situation of Sheikh was that lots of people around him were falling into polytheism by dua. They are calling the graves, they are calling the trees, they are calling the caves, and so on, instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is of course a polytheism. That's why he gave this dalil or evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to call no one on his masjid except him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And masjid, of course, doesn't mean that in other places you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And don't call anybody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other ayah, which is clearer in this, also in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. And the other ayah said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Subhanallah, in this ayah especially, you can see easily that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is counting dua as worshipping. Listen to this. Read the translation of the meaning of the ayah. Okay? And ask me for anything. I will respond to your invocation. Okay? Then you will see, huh? Okay, that's who's called my worship. He called it worship. So he called dua is worshipping. So dua is the worshipping. طيب, is every dua worshipping? No. If I call Arif, Muhammad, Ahmed, Ali, does that mean that I'm worshipping them? No. But here we're talking about the dua which is only Allah can do. Or only our father can answer. Yani, asking for forgiveness. Who can forgive us? Maybe the Khalandar Baba? No. Can any one of this world forgive us or take us to Jannah? Including Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can he? No, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. طيب, then everything is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dua, you can't call persons for something. Tanzeem, give me this, Arif, give me, do this. It's easy, this is called regular discussion or calling. But we're talking about that dua which is only can be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and practiced by Allah, or given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So asking rizq, or asking children, or asking cureness, or asking for any of these things, should be only for Allah. But when you look around among Muslims, you will find that they believe that if they go to such and such grave of that past person, and they ask him for some of these things, they will get what they want. Not thinking that these are gods, but thinking that because they are close to the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can get. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has delegated them to do this. Astaghfirullah. So this is a big mistake. And a Muslim should be very careful. Allah clearly in this ayah is telling us, ادعوني استجب لكم. Call me. And the meaning of this, just call me. That's why we said before that calling Allah, and Allah is calling us, we are calling Allah directly. But Allah does not talk to us directly. So down way from Allah to us should be through Jibreel and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from us to Allah should not be through Muhammad or through Jibreel sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Should be only direct to Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon this ayah, not from our own mind. Yani we did not think and say, okay, this is the way. No, it is the case of the ayah, clearly. Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us in this ayah, ادعوني استجب لكم. Call me directly. So, and he mentioned, and he made this ادعوني, he made it as the worshipping. إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي. عبادتي here is worshipping. He did not say إن الذين يستكبرون عن دعائي. And note this point. He is mentioning دعاء here as عبادة. He is describing دعاء as عبادة. He did not again say those people who do not call me are this and this. He said those people who are not worshipping me, or they are rejecting to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is still bringing back this case not as a dua in here in the second part. Or the second point, he's calling it as a worshipping. So now we understand that dua is a worshipping. Also another hadith, the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is invocation is a worshipping, or worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith actually, in the Arabic version, they brought another hadith close to this one, but this hadith is mentioned in the translation is the correct one. الدعاء هو العبادة. الدعاء هو العبادة. This hadith is sahih, mentioned by Albani, by Tirmidhi actually, but Albani also mentioned this as sahih or authentic hadith. So الدعاء هو العبادة means الدعاء is making like a big worshipping. الدعاء is a big worshipping because just the دعاء itself is not only to get. While we are making دعاء to Allah, we have to think that we are also worshipping Him in here, this case. Ya Allah, give me rizq. Ya Allah, give me this. I am asking Him something, but also at the same time, I am actually worshipping Him. So I'm doing good deeds in this case. I'm not just thinking about what I am going to get after this dua. I'm just thinking, or I'm also thinking, or which is the more important, I'm thinking that I am worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He requested me to do. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ.
There are many conditions that Allah commanded people to fulfill, such as fear, hope, reliance, ambulance, dependence, seeking help, taking refuge, calling for assistance, slaughtering, woeing. Fear. The evidence for this is the saying of Allah, which means, so fear them not, but fear me, if you are true believers. Al Imran, ayat number 135.
Okay, in the case of, he is now bringing another or some other examples of worshipping, especially by heart. Fear is action of what? Of the body? By the tongue? No, it's the heart. The heart is which is going to be fearing or afraid. Not the body. The body is actually doing the action which is the heart telling him to do after here. So if the person is afraid, the heart or the mind will give the signals to the legs, run away. So he'll run away. Okay? But where does it start? Where does it start? In the heart. So fear is an act of a heart. It's the worshipping of a heart. Ah, then we have to be careful. It's the worshipping in here, we have to be careful. We have to study this case of fear. Is it all worshipping? No. We have to be careful also. We have to divide fear into three levels. The first level is worshipping, which is the fear, that fear of the one who can really give you and take you. The one who can really make you happy and make you unhappy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This fear is worshipping. Okay? He is the one who is capable of giving you rizq, or giving you health, or giving you this, or taking this from you. So you should be afraid of him subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should be fearing of him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is number one, which is worshipping. Number two is a secret fear. Secret fear means to be afraid of someone thinking that he is capable of hurting you or benefiting you. That's happening especially with graves. Usually people, why do they go to the graves and ask the graves? Because of these stories they hear, this imagination or these false stories of karama or miracles of this grave or that grave, someone he has went to that grave and he asked him. I remember I received one SMS saying some person called Ahmed, he is the keeper of the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's room, and he is said that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to him while he is sleeping and he told him, if you do this you will have this, tell people to do this, and this. Subhanallah al-Azim. People now, they are trying to put these innovations or novelties to make Muslims curve away from Islam. Fearing of these graves, what can they do? These graves are poor people. They need us. We don't need them. They need us to go and make dua for them, as Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us to do. So if a person thinks that this such and such grave, if you don't visit him, he will hurt you, or if you visit him, you will get such and such thing, this is called secret fear, and that's major shirk. Major shirk. Without doing anything, just the fear inside. We're talking about the heart now. There's no action, nothing done. And he did not go to the grave, ask for blessing and barakah and so on. No. It's just only the fear of the grave, thinking that he is capable of hurting him or giving him things. This is major shirk. That's called secret fear. Usually, as we said, this fear will not happen except because of these false stories about the karama and miracles of these graves or dead people in these graves. Okay? The third kind of fear is the natural fear. Yani, don't say, okay, I will not be afraid of anything. So meet the lion. You are in the zoo, the lion left his place for somewhere or another, the door was open, and you are face to face to the lion. So no, I will not be afraid. كيف الحال? That's not true. Fearing of a fire. Yani, suppose you are in a place, there was a fire. No, I'll not be afraid. I'm not fear because this is shirk. And stay in there and you will be burned. That's not true. We have to take things correctly as Allah told us in the Holy Quran. Muhammad told us, this fearless is natural. As we said in the case of love, there's also natural love. So natural fear is okay. See how we got this? We got this as an example like Musa alayhi salam. He was afraid. خرج منها خائفا يترقب. Musa was afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of the people of Fir'aun that they will hurt him. Will we say that he is a mushrik? Astaghfirullah. No. But that is a natural fear. So Musa alayhi salam was not blamed for that, because it's natural. Being afraid from any enemy, beast, whatever, is natural thing. It's not a big problem. But what we are saying, that the other fear, which is secret fear, fearing of something is not true, like fearing of a grave or of ghosts and so on, this is major shirk. Major shirk. Right, go ahead.
Three types of fear.
Yeah. Worshipping only for Allah, secret fear, and natural fear. Yeah. Okay. Hope. Okay.
Was there like some Muhammad with the Munafiqeen? They said like the people have gathered an army against you, but fear them.
Okay.
And it only raised them in Iman.
Yeah. That what kind of fear is this? Secret fear.
Secret
fear. Secret fear in here is not allowed. Natural fear is okay. But this is not a natural fear. This is a secret fear, because they are trying to put fear into Muhammad and his people or his Sahaba of these, because they are Allah. And they are capable of doing such and such. They cannot unless Allah allows them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Muhammad, because he is, as we will say in Tawakkul, he was depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayah is coming in the case of Tawakkul, by the way. Okay? Because Muhammad was depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, he was not afraid of them. Yes.
Oh, the evidence for this is the saying of Allah, which means, so whoever hopes for the meeting with his Lord, let him work righteousness and associate none as a partner in worship of his Lord. Al-Kahf.
Okay, the case of hope, yani actually we have to put in mind that a Muslim in his life should have fear and hope in the same time. Because if he is always afraid, he will say, khalas, I cannot do anything, I will be in hellfire, let me do anything, khalas. I want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will not be a Muslim anymore. Because whatever I do, I will be in hellfire. Because if he reads the ayat about hellfire and these, Jannah is so expensive, nobody can take it or have it easily, they will be afraid, then he will not do anything. That's called qunut. Qunut, what is in English? Desperation. Desperation. He will not, khalas, will say, I will never go to Jannah. So, but if he has a hope, then it will balance. If he has only a hope, he will not do anything, because he has already guaranteed Jannah. Some Muslims now, they have a lot of hope, and they have no fear. They think, khalas, say la ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah, whatever you do, you will be in Jannah with Abu Bakr and Umar. A'udhu billah. What kind of strength and understanding of Islam? That's why you will see a lot of Muslims now, they don't do any other pillars of Islam. They only say la ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah by tongue. No action, no practice, no... They fall into the contradictions of la ilaha illa Allah. And still they think they are Jannah directly. Just to die and go to Jannah, khalas. Just because they say la ilaha illa Allah. And depending on some hadith only, without studying the other hadith talking about that, a person will not get to Jannah unless he does such and such and such. And these people who fall into such and such, they will go to hellfire, although they are saying la ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah, and they pray and do all these things. And we'll study, inshallah, later on in the contradictions of Islam. So, fear and love, fear and hope must be balanced. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, and Ibn Qayyim, of course, one of the major scholars of Islam, after Ibn Taymiyyah, he was a student of Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, a Muslim should balance fear and hope. He should balance fear and hope in his life. But when he is dying, he should be more hoping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he is alive and free and having a lot of money and strong, he should have more fearness. Why? Because in kalla inna al-insana la yatgha ar-ra'ahu istaghna. He's rich, healthy, shaitan is smart, and he will fall into some bad things. So fear must be more in here. While he's dying, while he's weak, while he's sick, no need for fear in here. Khalas, he cannot do anything except the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why that's why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بالله. يعني when he's dying, he must feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. Khalas. Don't come to a person who is dying and say, be careful from hellfire. If you do this, you will be in hellfire. The guy is dying, خلاص, he cannot do anything. So you should at least when he comes, he's dying, tell him that Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful with his slaves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this. And give him more hope in his life. Because he's dying now, he cannot do anything more now. So he needs hope now, he doesn't need fear. So remember this case of balance of fear and hope. It must be very balanced in life, but it is more while a person is strong and having a healthy life and money and children, and more fear should be in there. And should be more hope while in going or dying on in weak areas. Yeah.
Realize the evidence for this is saying of Allah, which means, and put your trust in Allah if you are believers indeed. Al-Ma'idah 22.
Reliance is the tawakkul, is depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's another item that mentioned in here. No, there's two items. Okay. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Also the case of tawakkul is very important case, and we have some examples of that. The first and most important example is the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is mentioned just a few minutes ago, when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished from Uhud battle. And someone came to him and said that Quraysh will come back to you and beat you and your followers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended the ayah saying, أَلَذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ فَانْقَلَبُوا the result what? فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ. So they came back with, alhamdulillah, no troubles happened to them. So depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important for a Muslim as a heart act. Very important. See Hud as an example. Wallahi, subhanAllah, when you study the ayahs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about Hud, in Hud, Surah Hud. Hud was one person facing one of the strongest nations on that time. He was alone. And they were rejecting what he is calling. قَالُوا يَهُودُ مَا جِئْتَنَا بِبَيِّنَةٍ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَارِكِ آلِهَتِنَا عَنْ قَوْلِكَ وَمَا نَحْنُ لَكَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. They are rejecting what he is saying. إِنَّ قُولُوا إِلَّا اعْتَرَاكَ بَعْضُ آلِهَتِنَا بِسُوءٍ. And they said, the meaning of this, that they say, what happened to you is because of our God. They are hurting you. What did he answer? قَالَ إِنِّي أُشْهِدُ اللَّهِ وَاشْهَدُوا أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا, whatever you have made of polytheism, I hate it. I'm far away from it. Huh? إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ رَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ. Depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. مَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. دَابَّة means whatever comes on earth. Whatever دَابَّة in this earth, إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Allah is providing her with risk. Huh? إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Then he said, فَكِيدُونِي جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ لَتُنْظِرُونَ. يعني, come, hurt me. Now, don't wait. Don't wait for tomorrow. Now, hurt me. جميعًا, all of you, come, hurt me. إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ رَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ. Now it's the case now. He is depending on Allah, and he is telling them, يعني, I bet you cannot do anything to me. How strong he got, from where he got this? Did he have a Kalashnikov? Did he have a RPG? Did he have a bomb? What did he have? He has the faith on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dependence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huh? The reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that made him so strong. Even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we mentioned just a few minutes ago, even Ibrahim alayhi salam, the story which is mentioned, some of you said it's Israeli story, but actually you can understand it some way or another, as Ibn Kathir mentioned it. And the other, that, yes, that, but the story itself is not, you know, authentic. But the story gives us the meaning of the case, that Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown to the hill. You know the story. While he was flying, okay, that's what Kathir said, mentioned in the tafsir, Jibreel alayhi salam came to him. He said, do you need anything? So Ibrahim alayhi salam, the meaning of what he said, from you, no. From Allah, yes. حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل. This word, if you say it, wallahi, no one can hurt you unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل. الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. فانقلبوا بنعمة. Just say this word by heart. depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be sure 100% that no one can touch you, no one can hurt you, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to test you on this. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may let the kafirin hurt the mu'mineen. Why? To test mu'mineen, to make them up and raise them up. Because shahada, brothers, is killing. But shahada in here is choosing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose those people who deserve to be shaheed. Not everybody who wants to go for shahada will get shahada. No. Allah only subhanahu wa ta'ala choose those people who deserve to be shaheed. So hurting Muslim in here could happen. But it cannot be happen. It cannot happen unless subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test the Muslim in here and raise him up, raise his grades up on Jannah. So tawakkul in here, reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is very important case. Muslims should understand it clearly. Also it has some points. Depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first point is the worshipping. To rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a worshipping. So it should be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To rely on human beings or other things is sometimes major shirk. Like a person who depends on his rizq on people, and he thinks that they are the people who are giving him rizq. Like salaries. He will depend on us. Sorry. If they fire him from work, he will die. خلاص. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is providing the rizq through these people. So Muslim should not depend on these. He should depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on his rizq. If he thinks that these people are capable of cutting his rizq, that's major shirk. That's major shirk. طيب, what about depending on a representative of the work to do some job or some paperwork onto the jawazat and so on, for these and so on? No, this is the verse. When you, okay, what is this mind in this point? That when you depend on a person and you are ordering him, you are higher than him, then it's okay. Like you're telling your son, I'm giving you tawkeel, okay? I'm, what you call it in English, delegating you to do such and such. Delegation here is okay. But to depend on someone, on rizq, thinking that he is capable of cutting this rizq or killing me or so on, this is major shirk. While depending on Allah ta'ala is a worship. So it's three levels Muslims should put in mind. It needs more explanation, but I think it is to take us more than that on discussion later on, inshallah.
Yeah. What is the worship?
Sorry?
Anything else?
Worship, you're not allowed to go there.
Secret type of the Ukula, right?
Secret. Secret land. Yeah. Let's discuss that. Yes. Yeah, depending on the others, it's the secret land. Like the other one we talk about, the case of fear. Secret reliance is the case of thinking that the others are capable of giving me risk or not, or making my life longer or shorter, depending on them in these cases. And it happens actually. I mean, maybe we don't see this, but we can see it easily with these people who are dealing with the rich people or with the governors and so on, think that they are capable of giving risk and cutting risk and so on. These are falling into major shirk. Yes, it's called secret reliance. Yes, sir.
Humbleness. The evidence for this is the saying of Allah, which means they used to hasten and to do good deeds, and they used to call on us with hope and fear, and used to humble themselves before us. Al-Anbiya, ayat number 9.
Humbleness, or another called khushu', is to act as a humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to feel in heart that we are in front of Allah only slaves. We are supposed to be nose down. That's why, subhanAllah, we do not put our nose. Okay, they say, I don't know in the other nationalities, but in Saudi Arabia they say your nose is the top. You should not put your nose to anybody. Okay? Only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the most important thing of you, which is your nose, do not go down except for Allah, then this is the humbleness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While you are praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are going down, you are putting your nose onto the area where people put their feet. Okay? Why? To show that you are humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, what do you say in sujood? Subhana rabbiya al-a'la, the one who is high above. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a'la and I am adna, taht. That's the humbleness. So a Muslim, that's why you say, yani, Salah. Salah is not just only some movements. Salah contains three cases, as we said. Salah by heart, Salah by tongue, Salah by body. Right? Right? So we should have Salah both, all of these three. Our hearts are praying, which is humbleness, being afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while praying. We're humbling for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's by heart. Okay? By tongue, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are requesting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are making dua, we are reciting the Holy Quran. By body, we are moving, we are putting our nose down. So if you gather them three all together, this is the true salah. But you will find people are standing like this, like they are standing in front of some friends or this, and he's moving around, playing with his shmar, or his watch, or maybe he's looking at his mobile. And what does he do? Does he have any humbleness? So a Muslim in front of Allah Ta'ala should be so humble, putting his hands, looking at his, yani his eyes going where? To his sujood place. Remembering, as Allah told us, as Muhammad told us in the hadith of Jibreel, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. يعني you worshiping Allah Ta'ala like you see him. فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. If you don't see him, he sees you سبحانه وتعالى. So worshiping Allah Ta'ala not only in salah, in everything. That like Allah Ta'ala is seeing you. If not, then remember that that you are seeing Allah Ta'ala. If not, then remember that Allah Ta'ala is seeing you. Yeah, إحسان.
Yeah.
Best worship,
best form of worship is Salah.
And
best acting in Salah is
true. True, but Salah is the Amud al-Islam. Okay? But Dirwat Sanamihi, the highest thing is Jihad. Jihad is higher than Salah. As the when Muhammad gave an example of Camel. The hump of Camel is the highest. And Jihad is the highest.
Salah. Jihad is the best form of worship.
Yes. Because Salah, everybody can do it, but Jihad, not everyone. That's the key. Yes, the Shahid.
There is a hadith out there. During the time of the Prophet of Allah, Sahaba, Sayyid Ahmad, he replied, Bizzul Walidain,
and Bizzul Salih Fil Waqtiha. Yeah, Salih
Fil Waqtiha. Bizzul Walidain, Jihad Fi
Sabilillah.
According to this ayah,
yeah,
and according to this hadith, third one, that you told that jihad is the
okay.
On top, but okay. During, I mean, according to this hadith, jihad is the third one.
I'll tell you why. Because jihad he's talking about here is not the jihad he's talking about in the other hadith, that is the hump of camel. Then what's the name of jihad? Because jihad, in this case especially, is the case, the jihad which is sunnah, jihad. Okay? Jihad, no. Jihad sunnah here. Jihad, fighting the Kafirin, is two levels. Defending Muslims, and invading the Kafirin. So if it's the case of invading the Kafirin, or attacking the Kafirin outside of the Islamic world, that's sunnah. So to take care of the parents, as the one man came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to go for jihad, and I left my mother, and he said, go back to your mother. Because this jihad he's talking about in here is jihad to go to fight the Kafirin in their area to call them to Islam. But when it comes to the case of that jihad is defensive or defending Muslims or obeying the order of the leader of Islam or you are in front of the Kafirin, then it is a must and it's the best. So we have to differentiate between these two cases of jihad. Now we'll talk about the case of jihad inshallah when we read this hadith at the end of this.
Defending jihad means
Ahzab? Yes, like Ahzab, like Uhud. They came to Medina and Muhammad was defending. So nobody is allowed to go. Those people who left Muhammad while Ahzab, they became hypocrites. Remember the ayahs on that, yes.
But regarding the Uhud, some people stayed in there.
Oh, by the order of Muhammad. Yeah. Not of course the hypocrites who were with Abdullah bin Ubayy bin Salul. Who left with third of the military, yes.
Repentance. The evidence for this is saying of Allah, which means, and turn in repentance and in obedience with true faith, Islamic monotheism, to your Lord and submit to Him in Islam. Az-Zumar 54.
Repentance in here is meant to talk about inaba, not tawbah. What's the difference between tawbah and inaba? Inaba means the person who comes again and again. Tawbah is one time. Inaba is again and again. Allah talked about Ibrahim alayhi salam and said, Allahum munib. Munib means he makes tawbah so many times. He comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again and again and again and again. So inaba is stronger than or wider than or more than just repenting.
That's why repeated tawbah.
Yeah, like repeated tawbah. Always he's repeating. Yani a person who is always thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's always making tawbah. Always. He comes back to Allah. Yani inaba means munib. Munib comes always. He comes back always. The person who comes back always, always. Tawbah, he may, a person make tawbah one time, khara. But inaba means he's doing it so much. He's coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every time. Every time he makes any mistake, directly he comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's called munib. Or inaba.
Can you give me one example of
a tawbah? Tawbah is known. A person who fell into some sins, and he makes tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, khalas. Yeah, but inaba means always he's coming back. Every time. Every time. Even if he does not make any sins. So he's munib, he's making a lot of come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if he doesn't make any sense in this case.
Every time he makes sin and then come back?
Even if he doesn't make sins.
Even
yeah, he comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always. Munib means he's the person who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Seeking help. The evidence for this is saying of Allah, which means you alone we worship and you alone we ask help for each and everything. Al-Fatiha, ayat number 5. The Prophet said, if you seek help, seek it from Allah alone.
Okay, this hadith is narrated by Tirmidhi and Albani said it is correct hadith. Authentic. طيب. استعانة or seeking help needs actually to divide it again into two types. استعانة on things that nobody can do it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's only for Allah. That's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And isti'ana on things people can help you out, that is, needs, that must have some conditions. We call it APC. APC. Alive, present, capable. Alive, present, capable. APC. Yani, you cannot ask a person for help, okay, unless he has these three conditions. He is alive, so we cannot call dead person. He is present, you cannot call a person who is not around. He is capable of helping you, you cannot call a handicap to help you to carry things. Okay? What's wrong with this? The mistaken here, the problem in here, that if you call a dead person, that means this person who is calling the dead person is thinking that this person is capable of doing things that nobody can do. So he's giving him things that is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he's a dead person, he cannot do anything. Why to call him? Unless he thinks that he is capable of, he has a power to do things for the person who calls him. That's for Allah. For present, calling a person who is not in there, asking him for help, is also giving the idea that this person has a superpower of hearing you from far away. So you are calling your father from India or from London, huh, to help you? It cannot be. Unless, of course, you're using some of these communications. Wait. But sitting in here in a room, closed room, no communication, no telephone, and say, oh, Dad, help me. That's a problem now. That's a problem. Because this means that this person is thinking that is that having extra power, superpower. And the case of capable, as we said, you cannot call a person who is not capable to help you on something. Yani you have a handicap on his chair, and please help me out to carry this heavy thing. He is a handicap, how can he help you out? So, to call this person means one of two things. Whether he thinks also that this person has some superpower, okay, or the guy is nuts, crazy. So, both are incorrect, of course. So we have to be careful. APC here is mandatory on asking people for help, and asking things that only Allah can do is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Asking from people, that means it's a major shirk. from the general ayahs and hadith. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And this is in worshipping on the biblical things that can. And Muslims, and scholars, when they come to read these ayahs, to call a person, a dead person, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى وَلَا تُسْمِعُ الصُّمَّ الدُّعَاءَ إِذَا وَلَّوْا مُدْبِرِينَ. So these dead people cannot hear you. How can you call them? So alive here is mandatory. Also the case of presenting, as we said, if a person is calling someone, he's not there, directly you will think that he is thinking that this person has a superpower, which is incorrect. It's against the ayahs and hadith. Of course, this is not certain ayah or hadith on each point of this, but it's the understanding from the general ayahs and hadith. Okay, it's two levels. Whether it is calling Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم for things that he cannot do, that's shirk, major shirk. It's only just to call Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم loving him, this is not allowed, and it is a bid'ah, unavowed, because this will lead one way or another to shirk. How do I deal with this case? I will say Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is my love, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, I love Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the best proof of love of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is to practice the sunnah, to follow him صلى الله عليه وسلم, to obey him صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is the true love of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Not to say to have this hi, ya Rasulullah. This is not a proof. This is just easy to say. Hypocrites can do it better than us. Yes, hypocrites did better than us in this case. They do a lot of that thing. When they come to follow Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, they don't follow. Yes.
You say, which is, ya Rasulullah, who is alive?
Yeah.
People who are not alive, then what? Ya Abu, ya...
You shouldn't call it. Why to call it? Why you call that person? He is dead. As-salamu alayka, ya Rasulullah. If you say, as-salamu alayka, ya Rasulullah, you are in his... saying salam in his grave, suppose, or grace of grace. If you come to your uncle, he's dead, or your father, he's dead, you make dua for him, you don't call him. You don't call. You call Allah for him.
I want to ask you the difference here between Ya and Without.
Okay. Ya is in Arabic means the letter for dua, for calling. Ya Muhammad Ta'ad, Ya Ahmed, Ya Abdul Samad. I'm calling him. Okay? This is to call. Make dua, or da'wah. Come. Okay? So you cannot call a person who is dead.
Same as who Allah.
Ya Allah. Oh, and here in English. Yeah. Ya Allah, he's alive. He's hearing you. So you say, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahman Rahim. Yes, you are. But you cannot say, Ya Rasulullah, do this. Even if you ask, Ya Rasulullah, ana uhibbuk. I love you. I like you. I glorify you. So on. Why is that for Allah this way? No. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. That's what we say. As-salah. Even except in salah, of course, this is the only one we are calling him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this is ibadah taught to us by him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what do we say in tashahud akhir? And in the shahad, before what I'm going to say, attahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu tayyibat, salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Why we say ayyuhan nabi in here? Why we call Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here? Because this is ibadah, and ibadah and worshipping must be done as he told us. And he explained this exactly to Abu Huraira while his hand is in his hand, as he told us. He said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put my hand in his hand, and he taught me how to say salam and salat on him. So we are saying this exactly how he told Abu Hurairah to do, we are doing it. Not to call him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in our salah, we're not calling him to do something to us. So ya in here should not be used for anyone except Allah ta'ala or to their life to call him for something. Ya Ali, help me this. Ya Muhammad, bring this. Should not be. This is the only thing that's left. There's a lot of things which is incorrect and nobody does. No, we cannot say shirk. It's wrong, but shirk, no, we cannot say shirk. At least they are calling him for things that Allah only can do. But this is bid'ah. What? Yeah, what are we stopped by? Isti'ana here. Hey, Lions, are seeking help? Okay, you can stop in this, taking refuge. What is this, inshallah?
Yes,
if you have some questions, we can. Yes, dear brother, ask. You said
the scholars, they need to deal with the problems of their time. and the sheikh, he used to deal with the problem of shirk of like people calling on dead people. What do you say like the problem of our time today, like the shirk today?
Of course. Yani, first of all, the problem which is mentioned, we said just about the graves, is still on. And it's even worse. Although I would say, yani, which is good news, that Muslims now, because they are more educated now, they are not like before. Yani, if you ask yourself now, how many people go to the grave of Al-Badawi in Egypt, or Ibn Arabi in Syria, or Ajmir in India, or Sayyid Madani, or Shah Yamani, Yamani in Bangladesh, and so on, you will see that people are not like before. Muslims are now learning more and more about monotheism, so they are not going. But still, we have to work on this. There are still people who are benefiting of this, so they are putting more and more yani, efforts to bring people back to the case of grace. This one point. Second point, that whatever shirk comes, like shirk of permanence now, we should also defend, we should also explain. Yani, we have extra shirk which is now getting worse and worse nowadays, which is the case of shirk of obedience, shirk, by obeying those people who make different legislation or contradicting the Sharia of Islam. Permanence, whatever you call this, they are changing the Sharia of Islam by putting new laws, putting Islam or legislation of Islam only in the case of the personal laws, marriage and so on. But the rest of the life, they'll bring their French law or British law or this law or that law. This is shirk. This is shirk in Rububiyyah side, by the way, which is even worse. Yani, worse than Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and others. Because Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and the other Qurayshi prophets, they were not thinking that they can. They are thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the creator of the earth and he's not the one who is the only one who can make rules. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But their shirk was in some worshipping. Now our people nowadays, they were falling into even in the shirk on Rububiyyah side, Lordship side, like the Rafidah, Shia, they are saying that Ali ibn Abi Talib knows the ghaib. Some of these extremist Sufis, they are saying that their Qutbs or their Walis, they know the ghaib and they can control the world and so on. So this is worse, that's even worse, because this is shirk on polytheism in Rububiyyah side. So the Parliament side, the Parliament case is also in the Rubiya side. As Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Adi ibn Hatim, when he told him that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was reciting the ayah, do you remember the story? And Adi ibn Hatim was just new Muslim that time, and he heard Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reciting this ayah, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. So Adi ibn Hatim said, because he was Christian before, he said, Ya Rasulullah, we did not worship him. So Muhammad said, yeah, you did. Didn't they make the halal thing haram for you and you accepted? He said, yes. Didn't they make some of these haram things halal for you and you accepted? He said, yes. Yes, this is the worshipping. So what this ruhban did, what these bishops or priests did, they have changed the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's major shirk on Rububiyyah side. What people did, actually, they accepted, so they worship these people. So those people who accept these laws made by parliament or whatever the person who is doing it, or leaders or rulers, and when they accept this Sharia, changing of the Sharia and putting some other law, when they accept this, they are making shirk also. They should not accept it. They should not accept it. Yes. Okay. Okay, this is natural love. Natural love here. Natural fear. I don't know about love.
To understand the fear, to understand the fear, each and every heart has several sections. One section for fear, one section for hope, one section for humbleness.
What's the evidence for this?
No. For understanding.
Defining the
explanation. So, yeah. If suppose this is the section of fear, like the glass, it is empty now. Means I don't have fear now. Right? If it is filled with complete water, no more space in this one, This is the this is filled with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fear.
Mm-hmm.
There is no space now. No, it will not take any water now.
Mm-hmm.
So if the heart is filled with complete fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no space for fear of any other thing.
No, I can't really agree totally on this. Because natural fear is still in there.
No, that is different.
Okay.
Natural
fear. Then you have to divide the fear also, if fear space, into different three types or three areas. Then you are cutting the heart so much pieces. So the heart now have a piece, a small area for fear. This small area also parted into three. So it should be full of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it will not be, the person will not be afraid of others except the natural fear.
Natural fear.
Yeah, natural fear is regular. Yani. Musa alayhi salam was afraid. Well, he is the one of the five major. Yeah.
What
I feel, and from my point of view, and from point of view of a lot of scholars, there is no way to make a dialogue with kafirin except to call them to Islam. That's it. And kafirin here includes anyone who is not a Muslim at all, like Christians, Jews, Hindus, and so on, and including also those who were Muslims one day and they fell into some contradictions of Islam, so they became kafirin, although they are called Muslims. Like what? Like Shia. I believe, with no doubt, that every Shia nowadays, especially those Rafida who are following this Saba'iyya sect of Shia, they are kafirin. From so many sides. And if we want to talk about Shia, this will take us a long time. But believe me, there is enough dalil, enough evidence to say that Shia nowadays are kafirs. So what to do with a kafir? It's going to Islam. So what should we do if we want to make a dialogue? وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ ادْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Yani, I should come to the Shia person as an example, not Christian and Jew, this is another case. I should come to, listen, you are a kafir, come to Islam. Otherwise, how will he will know that he's in the wrong place? He will think that, if we say, okay, well, Alish, you are Shia, we are also la ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah, we are Muslims, but you know, you have some mistake. No, that's not the way. No, Muhammad Rasulullah did not this way. Muhammad Rasulullah was served by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell Quraishis, well, ya ayyuhal kafirun. Now, he did not say, okay, Quraishi people believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? They believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the earth. وَلَا إِنْ سَأَلْتَ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا يَقُلُنَّ اللَّهِ. Yani, in their inside hearts, and they say by saying that they believe the creator and sustainer of everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why didn't Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, okay, we have something to be with. Now, let's start from this point. No. We have. How do they know that they are kafirin, they are on the wrong track, unless we tell them? Shi'ana was the kafir. I will tell them, you believe that. Aisha, the mother of Muslim mu'mineen, and the wife of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fell into zina, a'udhu billah, you are a kafir. Why to say a kafir? Because he contradicted the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly in Quran said that Aisha never did this. And he said Jawrah, she did. So he's breaking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word. So he's a kafir. Who rejects one ayah, one letter of Quran is a kafir. And this guy is rejecting God. In fact, he's not believing in Quran itself. These Shia now available, they say they do not believe in Quran. They have their own mushaf. Three times of our mushaf, with no letter of our Mus'haf. Where is it, ya Habib? Where is it? MashaAllah, this much Quran, where is it? It's hidden in the Sirdab on Samarra in Iraq. Since 256 Hijriya. Yani more than 1,000 years ago. Then how do you live? How are you? They read our Holy Quran to show us that they are Muslims. Why they don't believe it? Okay. For taqiyya.
When they are why you are allowing them?
Did I allow them? Did I?
I gave the same answer. If I have power, I will not allow
them. If you have power.
Will you have power? Is there any other questions on this thing? Better.
Yeah.
One small clarification. These people are coming from a certain background. I mean, they have been taught that such and such.
when we talk to them, we should talk to them with kindness, right? We cannot tell them on their face that you are a kafir. If we tell them directly on their face that you are a kafir, won't they feel hurt?
Do you know better than Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Of course, you're not coming to them holding a long stick, okay? Of course, you come to them and you start to them, listen, let's sit down, let's talk about Islam. Islam is this and this. Say, I'm Muslim. Okay, wait. You are not a Muslim if you are considering this or something. If you believe in Islam, you are not a Muslim. This is Islam. This is Quran, this is Sunnah. If they accept it, alhamdulillah, then you can go. But if this person now, he believes that you are a kafir. Yani these Shia now, they believe every Sunni is a kafir. And they have a say, that whoever kill Sunni, not any Sunni, Sunni with beard, with good Sunni, he is going to Jannah. Huh? Practical Sunni. Fantastic Sunni. He is going to Jannah directly. من قتل سنيا مستنا دخل الجنة بغير حساب. So what is it? They believe that we are kafirs. Not we all. They believe Abu Bakr and Umar رضي الله عنهما are kafirs. Like Al-Khumayni. May Allah SWT have put him in hell fire for all his life. All judgment day. He says that he made dua. He made dua to be said on sujood. To damn and curse Abu Bakr and Umar. نسأل الله العافية. And say, say this in your sujood. Subhanallah, as Shaykh al-Islam said, if you ask Jew, who is the best of you? They say, the people around Musa alayhi salam. And if you ask the Christians, who is the best of you? They say the people who were around Isa alayhi salam. And if you ask the Shia, Rafidah, who was the worst of you? They say the people around Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A'udhu billah. Ish hada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he said, لقد رضي الله عن الذين يبايعونك تحت الشجرة. Allah ta'ala was satisfied with those people who made bay'ah to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under the tree. While these Gharis say, no, all of them are Gharis except 3 or 10 or 30. Ish hada. What kind of Muslims are these? Because their deen has been destroyed by Ibn Sabah long time ago. Because of the hatred of Arabs and Islam among the Persians. So many reasons actually made this new deen. It's not Islam, it's new deen. In fact, if you read their books, as Sheikh Ihsan Ilahi Zahir, rahimahullah, who has studied their deen of Shia, deen of Shia, and he made references of their books, and he made it clearly that they are Muslims. So that's why they killed him in one of the lectures. They put a bomb onto a flower pot, and he was bombed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have so many books about this. Yes.
Any questions for related with this topic? Fear, hope, reliance, humbleness, respect.
Well, not by years actually, but you can say it's as we usually discuss on level 4 that the faithful Shia, not in time of Muhammad Hassan, of course, they in time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, they were helping Ali ibn Abi Talib, so they are their Shia, they called it the party, like party of person. Then later on, after Ali, there was the preferring Shia, who prefer Ali ibn Abi Talib on Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. Then later on, of course, came the order, among these, some part of them, they were the Sabai Shia who said, they ended up, or to the extent to say that Ali is the God, a'udhu billah. Allah al-A'ala.
Some Christians,
yeah, that's what we say.
They are included
with the Shia. Zaydis. Are, but they are very limited now. They are very limited in Yemen and I think north of Iran. They are, or other region. These are two
the one who are referring Ali on the
They are not Kafiris, of course. They are Muslims, but they are falling into a bid'ah and a faulty.
When they pray with
them? Yeah, it's all right. Zaydis are okay. So they are in this case of preferring. Yeah, preferring Shia only. But these other Shia, no. Your salah after this kind of Shia is not salah. Huh?
It's
not Ashriya, Rafida, Ismailiya, Buhra, Druz, Nusayris, and so on.
Huda.
Huh? Hoda, Ismailis, Aghakhanis, Hazara in Afghanistan and so on.
Sheikh, can I related to humbleness, what steps should we take to improve them?
Well, good point. To improve not only the khushu', all of these heart actions. A Muslim should really do his best to improve him. Improve fearless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? As an example, before we talk about khushu'. How do I improve fearless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By reading his book. How did he treat those people who rejected his risala or his message subhanahu wa ta'ala by through Nuh alayhi salam? With what? With what? They were destroyed. How did he treat the people of Lut who rejected the message of Lut alayhi salam? Huh? Upside down and so on. So when I read this, I will be afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may do the same thing for us or for some of us. And you don't think, okay, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given يعني a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to destroy all of his ummah in one time. But that does not mean that part of his ummah can be destroyed. And that happened even in Turkey. If this is true, I heard, yani, but 2 or 3 years ago, when they were a big bar, and subhanallah, the whole bar went down in earth. Yani, don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish, or severe punish, some of ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this case, fearless of Allah will be more. So I'm upgrading the fearless. Humbleness. When I remember that I'm standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If I have full knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, full renal heart, full glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I will feel humbleness. Yani, to know your level, know the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you know how weak you are, then you will be humble. And so on. Every any heart act we have been through just a few minutes ago, that can be improved by thinking of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the great. Then a human being will know how they are nothing to this, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that all these 7 skies and 7 earths to the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like a ring thrown in a desert. That's only for the kursi. As Ibn Abbas said, the kursi is the place for the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب, and the kursi for an arsh is another ring thrown in a desert. So when you think of this, all these skies, all these earths, oh, subhanallah, nothing, almost nothing for the kursi or for the arsh, then how about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then we are nothing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then how are we going to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the case. Yani, stability comes, sorry for this word. I read one of the poems, Egyptian poems. He said, he was making poem, saying that he is making strong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't care about you, a'udhu billah. Who is this? Who is he? Nothing. The problem is he doesn't know the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he knew the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would never think of this. We need actually to think of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Muhammad told us to think of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to think of Allah himself subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, signs of our bodies, signs on this universe, signs on the sect, signs on these viruses. When we think of them, we will know how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this will lead us to humbleness. This will lead us more humbleness. This will lead us to more fear, more love, more, and so on. Muslims should be one group, one ummah. وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونِ. Those people who are really aborting Muslims into Shia, means into groups, are really running wrong way. So we should not come and say this is this. And this. Yes, if we want to show or explain some wrong things that are done by some people or some group of people, we should explain the wrong. We should concentrate on the wrong things happening, not on the persons. That's the important point when you come to da'wah, and to, especially if you call Muslims who think that they know a lot of Islam. You should not come to talk about the person himself. talk about the mistake or the thing that he is doing. Don't talk about him personally. Because when you talk to him directly, you are going to make him defensive. He will not listen to you. They say, this is pointing to you, one, but three is pointing to me. So be careful. Right? So when we talk about Muslims, we should put them in one group. هو سماكم المسلمين من قبل. So we are Muslims. First of all, don't say this is Hanbali, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanafi. Don't say this is Jama'at Islami, Ahlul Hadith, Tablighi, so on. Don't say this. Say Muslims. طيب, Muslims. Some Muslims are making mistakes. Tablighis are making mistakes. This, طيب, okay. Come and talk about this mistake, these mistakes. Don't talk about the people. If a person falls into ridda, kufr, then you come to the person and you explain to him how he fell into kufr, without saying that you are a kafir in this case now, because you are talking about a person who is supposed to be a Muslim. That's what. How did Muhammad deal with the hypocrites? Although he knows they are hypocrites, he did not come to them and kill them. Why? Because he said, "Allah Sallam, clear point, clear hadith, حتى لا يتحدث الناس أن محمدا يقتل أصحابه." They are counted among Muslims, in front of Muslims, counted as Sahaba of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if he kills them, they will say, "Oh, Muhammad is killing his companions." That will affect Islam. So we are supposed to talk about Islam, about mistakes of Muslims, and explain to them and clear it out to them with dalil, not about the person themselves, because there will be defense.
But how many is the evidence that you just said regarding like Shia or something? If you were to have a war or battle, look,
Muslims are fighting. Okay, who is this? If he's a Muslim, this is another case. If he's a kafir, you will tell him more about you. How many Christian groups now? The three groups known, the big ones, Catholics, Protestants, Orthodox, only now, Jehovah's Witnesses, born again, Mormons, boom, how many? Thousands of groups. Is that the case of that Islam is clear. Now, Islam is one. Muslims are taking, some of them taking part of Islam, like, suppose, some of them are leaving complete parts of Islam, like Tablighis as an example, although I don't want to talk about persons. They are saying no jihad. And they make jihad as only da'wah, which is incorrect. This is misunderstanding of the Quran, ayahs. And but we say jihad when we can do it. When we are ready for jihad, we are supposed to make jihad. And we are waiting for jihad, and we love jihad. But we don't say jihad, we don't change the meaning of jihad to say da'wah. That was part of jihad, but it's not all jihad. Right? Also, as other groups, and so on. So we come to these groups and we try to bring them back to the right track. If they accept, alhamdulillah. If they don't, we are going in the right track. We are not looking to the others. We don't care. Yani Ibn Mas'ud said, don't look to how many people are losing. Look how many people are winning. Don't look to those people who are losing. They are going this way. Don't look at them. Go to the right track. See how many people are going with you. See the right track only. Don't worry. If this person, you will see some people who are counted as scholars and they are falling into some mistakes nobody accepts or not nobody believes. Subhanallah. As Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has made a line and so many lines aside. One line is straight, so many lines aside, and this is the Sabirullah. And this is the Subul. فلا تتبعوا السبل. Subul means more than one. Plural. Right? Subul, so many. One Sabir is another one. So follow the Sabeel of Muhammad. Jazakum Allah khair.